Good morning, everybody, on Friday the 20th of July to the Advanced Lifestyle Call. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here that's here already this morning. You heard probably the early birds that are on the call right off the bat. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you.
Thank you.
So, who's all with us here this morning? If you just give me your name, let me see, name, telephone number, address, weight, height, let me see what else would we want to know today. How about just your name? Maybe that's where you're from. I'm Monty, and I'm from Olympia, Washington. Who else is with us this morning?
Good morning, Monty. This is Joe from Wichita, Kansas.
Joe from Kansas. Good morning, Joe. Next.
Jeannie from Phoenix, Arizona.
Jeannie, good morning. Arizona. Next. Is anybody still there?
I'm here.
And this is?
This is Jeannie.
Jeannie, how's Arizona doing?
Well, it's we had a dust storm last night.
Oh, boy.
And it's hot.
Hot. Is it muddy? Muggy, is it?
A little bit muggy, yeah.
Yeah.
For us, it is.
Yeah. You got a lot of rain and hot weather down there this year, haven't you?
Well, not a lot of rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not yet. It looks like we're having our monsoon season, which means it looks like it's going to rain, but it really doesn't. We get dust storms.
Good. How you doing on the China study?
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
How are you?
I'm spreading the news.
Good. How do you find that people are receptive, or what are you getting out there for people that you start to talk to about the China study or whatever it is you're saying?
Well, people pretty much are. I try to insert it, just like what I do with Nikan. I try to insert it when there's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I was recently visiting my family in Texas and staying with my mom and dad. And, of course, you know, mm-hmm. they want to make bacon and eggs for me every morning. And so I would say, well, I'm not eating bacon and eggs. I'll make myself some oatmeal or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
They inquired, and I told them. And we went through the book a little bit, and we even watched the Rave DVD.
Oh, really?
We watched about half of it, and one of my brothers was there who was really wanting to wait and get healthier. So he's excited. I talked to him last night, and he eats on the run a lot, and so he's trying to figure out how to do that, but been pretty well with it. So
Talked
with a girlfriend yesterday, too, who she's just beside herself. She thinks she wants to get on antidepressants and stuff and all this, you know, because she just can't seem to lose weight and all these things. And I just, you know, she's used to eating healthily, but her husband does the Atkins. And so, you know, I emailed them a study, you know, to just for education purposes, because I love you. I would love if you would read this, you know, and then we can talk about it. So.
Good. Yeah, I think it's real important, you know, and I think there's all kinds of ways, because people will always end up saying something, usually in regards to allow you to either open up to the Nikan or to a way of eating or whatever, and we just got to learn to be good listeners and know when it's time to insert that little bit of information that maybe will open that door, and cracking that door just a little wider so that we can speak to them and give them some great information in regards to what it is that we have to offer. And I think that's real exciting. Thank you for speaking up this morning, Jeannie, and allowing me to ask you that question and sharing it with the people here on this call. And, of course, the purpose of this Advanced Lifestyle Call is to provide the most current nutritional advanced product technology information in the wellness industry. And when better health is attained, of course, in all areas of our lives, we know that will definitely be impacted. And the people who are here today, some of them are part of the Pilot Study Pilot Group that are actively helping both and applying the principles found in the book called The China Study. And The author of the China study was Colin Campbell, and we were fortunate enough to have him here on one of our calls on a Monday. And the most, and we also use the most utilizing edge-cutting wellness products made available, as far as we're concerned, and that is by the Nikkin Corporation. And that China study, where the book begins, was the largest nutritional study pretty much that was ever done in the world, and there were 880 million people and participants that were involved in that survey, and that's one of the things that we're excited about, that the information that has come from that has really helped us and guided us in a different direction. And attending this call in no way obligates you to make any purchases whatsoever. You are our guest. We ask only that if you find this information helpful and benefit in any way you've learned, please pass on the call number and time to others, as we're trying to get this information out to as many people as we possibly can across the world, because we know there are people that can call in. So we ask only that if you, whether you're in your home, your office, or your car, or wherever you are this morning, listen to this call, we'd like to welcome you to the call. And anytime you have any questions, whether you're new on the call or whether you've been participating in the call for some time, if you have any questions that you need answered, feel free to speak up and ask it at that particular time. Yesterday on the call, I know I talked about a little bit of information that was in the news in regards to a breast cancer study that was done. People, ladies, quite a few of them, thousands, matter of fact, and they came up with the conclusion that fruit and vegetables were not beneficial in any particular way to assist us in breast cancer. And I read another little article that came in today into my email, and it says this. It says, the FDA and other pushers of pharmaceuticals have been busy this week trying to discredit the healing power of natural foods. They've attacked lycopene, vitamin C, and even health benefits of eating fruits and vegetables. The mainstream media is now ignorantly reporting that breast cancer, and this is what I talked about yesterday, risk isn't affected by food. So you might as well just eat all the junk food you want. Amazing advice from the so-called health experts, comma, the FDA actually believes nutrition has almost no role in human health. And is there anybody in this call that would agree to that particular comment? I certainly don't. Go ahead.
I can't believe they say that. That's amazing.
Well, it is. And you know, Dr. Campbell talked, one of the things he mentioned just as we were, he was leaving the call with us on that Monday a couple weeks ago, that how people out there are really trying to downcredit the China study, the proper foods, natural foods, you know, whole foods and everything else. But when you really start looking, where does that money come from that are doing a lot of this research, and the people that are putting it down, just you'll understand why that particular happens. And I know the pharmaceutical industry is one of those organizations, in my opinion, that puts a lot of money in, does a lot of things to counteract the good things that Americans need. But what kind of amazed me was not that one so much, but this one, and I'm sure maybe some of you read it. Here's the headlines to this one. It says it was Reuters, R-E-U-T-E-R-S, the name of the media company that put this one out. And it says 75% of Americans overweight by 2015. Two-thirds considered heavy or obese now. Rate still increasing, study finds. If people keep gaining weight at the current rate, fat will be the norm by 2015, with 75% of U.S. adults overweight and 41% obese, U.S. researchers predicted on Wednesday. A team at, listen to this, Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore examined 20 studies published in journals and looked at national surveys of weight and behavior for their analysis, published in the journal Epidemiological Reviews. Obesity is a public health crisis. If the rate of obesity and overweight continues at this pace, 25 in 2015, 75% of adults and nearly 25% of U.S. children and adolescents will be overweight or obese. Dr. Wang, who led the study, said in a statement. Basically goes on and says they defined adult overweight and obesity using the standard medical definition called the body mass index. Studies show that 66% of U.S. adults were overweight or obese in 2003 and 2004. 16% of U.S. children adolescents are overweight, and 34% are at risk of becoming overweight. Every group is steadily getting heavier, Wang said. Our analysis showed patterns of obesity or overweight for various groups of Americans who worked on the study. Obesity is likely to continue to increase, and if nothing is done, it will soon become the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. That, in my opinion, is a very sad report. And we're trying to do something about that, and I think it's always kind of the way. Good morning, Way.
Hey, I got a pen yesterday, and what I did was, you know, the Pico trailer? I kind of like got the trailer. So you can preview for like 5 minutes on it, and I thought that's a great way just to get that information out to as many people as you can, because, you know, as they travel pretty fast, as the internet too. I did send that to stars and people sent it down, but I thought that's a great way just to get out there to the past seeing that. And I was very sick to hear that FDA have made that statement, but
Monty, I don't know if anybody else had a difficult time hearing Way, but there, maybe it's my phone that had a lot of echo.
Oh, can you hear?
Well, I hear a lot of echo, and I did hear you say, I heard, then you were louder, and maybe I'm the only one.
No, it echoes for me, too.
Yeah, she always breaks.
Yeah.
I have a lot of echo on my line.
Yeah, there does seem to be a lot of echo this morning. And I don't know why, but
I can sound better.
No, it's still there.
It's echoing. I don't know why. I can hear my voice back too.
Yep. So let's just kind of work through the echo this morning. I guess is about all we can do, because I don't know any way that I can control that here on this end other than to block you all out. And I certainly don't want to do that, because I know you all some information. One of the questions I have this morning for all of you out there. Have you ever went on the internet or and tried and went into about a company or something else? You always find it says always says home, and then it says about us, the company, and then it says questions and answers about, you know, usually it might be a company that provides a service or something like that. If you were going to come up with some questions and answers in regards to this program, and in a way of getting, like, maybe a website that people could go to that would answer particular type of questions. What kind of questions, and this is where I need your assistance out there, what kind of questions would you think people would be wanting to know in regards to this new way of eating? Can any of you help me out there with questions that you think might be, let's do a little brainstorming this morning. Of course, one of the ones we always know is, you know, the main thing when people start to eat this way is, well, where do you get your protein from? Okay.
Another one is about calcium.
Okay, where would that, give me that in question form.
Are we getting enough calcium?
Okay.
And how much is too much of a particular type of food? I doubt that we're going to ever OD on vegetables. But I guess it's possible to do it with fruit, which I think I've been doing. And even with the grains, how much is too much? How much is a serving, quote?
Okay.
What do you have for snacks? Is it okay just to have grains, a couple of crackers or whatever?
Okay. Anybody else out there have any questions that you think might be helpful to people to better understand this way of eating?
Since the quality of the soil has deteriorated over the years, why do you not think it's necessary to take supplements?
Okay. Anybody else have another one?
It's a funny one, maybe.
Go.
Okay, from God's perspective, why do cows give so much milk? What's it for?
Cows give milk.
And they,
anybody,
and debate there is?
Do what?
What's the answer to that one?
Well, I believe I can, here's would be my question, mine, and I got my answer from Dr. McDougall, because, you know, one of the things people say, well, then how come, you know, I've got the question, well, then how come we have a dairy industry, you know, if we're not supposed to be drinking milk and everything else? Well, cows, if you look at the cow's milk and you look at the rate of growth and of the baby calf, the baby calf goes from, when a calf is born, it can weigh anywhere from 40 to 60 pounds, the average calf. Now, Holstein cattle, because I've been in the cattle industry, they can weigh as high as 80 pounds, okay, because they're a bigger animal. The dairy animal is a bigger than beef animal. The purpose of the milk and the amount of milk given to that that baby calf is for the purpose that you have to realize from age 0 to 6 months years of age, that calf can weigh almost 400 pounds to 600 pounds at 6 months. Now, when you look at humans, I'll use the word pigs or mice or anything that's smaller, you'll realize that their intake of milk, okay, natural mother's milk, isn't a huge amount of milk. But when you look at anything that is huge as far as animals go, you'll find that the mother produces gobs of milk for that little baby calf, as an example, to grow as fast as it can grow, as quick as it can grow. Now, in my opinion, and from what I've read from Dr. McDougall, is that is the reason that cows give humongous amount of milk that they do. What the farmer, I think, start to understood was that if you take a calf off of its mother, within sight of 2 weeks to a week and a half, the udder dries up. In other words, the cow does not produce milk. If you continually to milk that cow after the calf gets off the cow, the mother will continue to produce milk because the way that the cow is designed or put together was, as long as the calf is there to continue to suckle, the mother still continues to produce milk. All of a sudden, they started sharing this between one another, and pretty soon, in my opinion, the industry was born.
That's the same with humans, Monty. I mean, if a woman continues to nurse, she will continue to produce milk as long as she's nursing.
That's exactly right. But the quantity, see, children don't get the mass amount of milk. You know, I'm not an expert on raising children, particularly when it comes to bottle, but, you know, what's the average size of a serving to a child in as far as milk goes? Was it 6 ounces, 4 ounces, 8 ounces? You get people out there probably know more about that than I do. But that calf, and this question that was answered, that calf gets gallons of milk because it is required to grow from age 0 to 6 months to 400 to 600 pounds.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that answers your question, but...
Yeah, it does. I grew up on a farm, too, but I couldn't... We always drink the milk, you know, not from the cows, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I just didn't understand, God's meaning of this or whatever.
Well, it's, remember, the purpose of butters... maybe I'm not using the proper word here.
They're babies, yeah.
Is to feed and raise their young.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose that they're there for. You know, they're not, whatever.
Okay, well, thank you.
You betcha. Anybody else have another question?
I just have a question for you, Monty, because it sounds like you know what you're talking about. So there's different cows for beef as there are for milk?
Sure.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. There's cows that are raised just for the purpose. Like, you take a beef animal, the kind that you find in the market in most cases. Unfortunately, you find an awful lot of dairy cattle in the market also because they, you know, if you were a farmer and you had a cow that was old, would you go out and dig a hole and bury it? Or would you think, well, wait now, this animal, if I take it to the market, I'm going to make an extra $400, $600 on this cow besides all the milk I've made on it over all the money I've made over all these years? or whatever, so they take that old Holstein cow or Jersey cow or whatever, and they take it to the market and they sell it, and it ends up getting made into ground round and whatever type of thing. But beef cattle are raised for the purpose of those nice, big, beautiful top sirloin steaks and everything else, and they are fed to could make the meat marbly so it has fat in it so that it's delicious to our taste. And you have to understand that our palates, what we're tasting in beef, and I mentioned this the other day on the call, when people normally eat beef, they don't, in a lot of cases, just, now I, when I was eating meat, I would, because I enjoyed it, but most people don't like the taste of beef. They always want to cover it up with something, either barbecue sauce or ketchup or A1 sauce or some kind of a steak sauce or whatever. But fat in beef cattle, that's why they put them in feedlots and they don't give them a lot of room to move around or whatever, but they jam the food down there. They just leave food there for them to eat, and that way that animal gains that weight and that fat in that meat. It's called marbling. And to make it delicious to the palate as it possibly can. But unfortunately, that is the fat that's killing us. That's the fat and the meat and the protein that is in that animal. And we all know this, that the animals today, whether they be beef animals, they're given antibiotics, so the purpose they don't get sick in these feedlots when they're grouped so close together. And in the dairy industry, they want to keep that cow producing milk as much as it can every day. You know, nowadays, they don't even allow dairy calves to suckle their mother. Well, excuse me, they do for the first day or so. And then they remove the calf from the mother, and they, in most cases, feed it formula and not even mother's milk. Because they want that milk that comes out of that udder of that cow to sell to you and I, or to the consumer in the marketplace. And so when you start really thinking about all this stuff that we've been taught that is good for us, but we're now reading in the China study is not good for us, that it is causing an awful lot of our diseases, and that's just not Dr. Campbell talking, or McDougall, or Shar Rogers, or any of you on this call, that's the world talking to us. Like Shar said, how many billion of people are in the world? And 4 billion of them don't eat the way that we eat, but yet America has the sickness and the diseases, and any country that is high in animal protein, that means animal flesh or dairy products, cheeses, whatever, all have these diseases. That's just, man, I just re-look at that and I went, wow. That is more valuable information to me than I think I've ever gotten in regards to the proper way of eating food. And I'm sorry I got off on that, but
that's helpful.
You know, and it's just, folks, I'm just so impressed with this new diet, the way that I'm eating and the way that I feel, and knowing that I'm putting good things in my body. And like Nancy, you know, I think we all got to check this out for herself. Nancy, you know, was gaining some weight. And she's hearing about everybody that's losing weight. And you know, she's gotten a little more information now, so now she's come to the conclusion, I believe. Nancy, what conclusion have you come to in regards to your weight loss?
That's really frustrating. And I'm thinking maybe I should go back to Lifestyle 1 where I didn't have this kind of problem. And I'm not even eating junk.
So Nancy, hello, this is Wade, can you hear me? So I'm the one who's trying to gain weight, so I actually achieved that. I gained 3 pounds in the whole process a month because I increased celery within the plant. So I don't know what sort of, it's a combination of diet research, whatever, but I find it's what I lose. It's a combination of the greens and the mixture of different type of vegetable plants too that also help. So I found I was losing weight. The first reason, hang on, I don't want to do this. So then I play around and increase my calories for me to add an extra meal for me to gain the weight. But so you can lose weight just eating more of the free food. more flax, more greens, and that kind of stuff, and that one has less dense vegetables.
I do eat a lot of veggies.
And it's the less dense carbohydrate kind of food also helps with the losing weight as well, if that makes sense to you. Meaning like more of the greens, less of the grains, less and less of the like potatoes, but like have more of the lighter input of the greens. Does it make sense? Like spinach, kale, or broccoli, you know, all those are kind of like less dense.
Mm-hmm.
Would that help?
Well, I know one thing that I've done, and way it's not, and I'm not going against what you say, because I believe that each of us have to find our own path and what works for us. But you know, one of my mentors in this particular thing believes that if you eat more starches, that basically, and you only eat till you're full, and not overeat, but that starches gives you what's called satiety, which means that you feel full and it stays with you longer. And I know since I've been on this program that I've lost weight, and I'm doing it by eating lots of starches. Every one of my meals is either based around potatoes, rice, sweet potatoes, products like that. That's my main menu. It's like last night, for an example, I had some brown rice that I had already made up the day before, and I took and put some brown rice in a pan, got some spaghetti sauce, took some organic spaghetti sauce with no fat in it, no oil in it, and I poured that in there. And I also, now this will kind of make you sick, I don't know, but I had about 2 tablespoons of mashed potatoes from the night before, and I put the mashed potatoes in there, and I stirred that all up, and that was my, and warmed it up, and that was my main meal. Now, I supplemented that, first of all, with a nice salad, and with a no oil added dressing, and no sugar added. And man, I felt real comfortable with that. Now I ate till I was full, because Dr. McDougall believes that if you reach to a point to where you're only eating X amount of volume, and you're basing that on what you think, and I'll use the term a serving, that if you're not full, then when you get up from that table and you don't feel full because you don't feel that you haven't had enough, that you will probably somewhere increase your caloric intake utilizing some sort of a snack or a snack, but more than a snack, as a snack as we think of a snack to be. And I think of a snack to be as something that I just put in my mouth, chew it a little bit, and eat it. So I think each one of us have to find our own thing, and I think what works for Nancy and what works for Wei, and you know, Wei, that's the way that we have to do it as an individual, rather than doing something that is absolute all the way across for each and every one of us, because each and every one of us are different, our tastes are different, our metabolism rate is different. You know, Nancy might have a very low metabolism rate, which I can eat, say, the same amount of fruit that Nancy does, an example, and I might lose weight. And that's why I think each one of us have to take the program. And remember, the program really says nothing more than basically just eliminate animal flesh and dairy products. And if we do that, then we can have a great time and eat as much food as we want, and particularly the foods that we enjoy that are natural and whole foods. Now, that doesn't mean we can't go to the kales, and we can't go to the broccolis, and we can't go to the foods that maybe we haven't really liked, but we can develop a palate or a taste for those particular products. Anybody have any comments? I didn't realize it's late.
So, Nancy, how often are you eating too? That's very important.
I still pretty much stick to 3 meals and 2 snacks.
Mm-hmm.
So for a snack, what are you guys eating?
Just an apple or a plum here or there, or with...
I'm trying to back off of so much fruit, because the fruit has been so wonderful this summer that it's easy for me to eat a lot of fruit, and maybe that's part of my problem, I don't know.
Yeah, probably the sugar for you, and maybe you can have less of the fruit in there, small.
Because I have fruit for breakfast, and I have fruit for my evening snack. So
okay.
I try to kind of stay away from it. Now, every once in a while, I have a huge fruit salad in the refrigerator, so if I open the refrigerator, I sometimes will take a spoonful of it. But as far as having that as my snack, like yesterday I had a couple of rye crackers that were good, and that was my snack yesterday afternoon.
What I usually have in my afternoon snack usually is an apple, a medium-sized to small apple, okay? And my evening snack is normally a broccoli or cauliflower, with some salad dressing as it utilized as a dip to, just to put over. And if I don't have that, then I just eat the broccoli and the cauliflower, and I have not a huge amount, but just what I consider in my mind what a snack would be.
And just cutting up celery sticks and carrots have ready, and I always have some pumpkin pie, and those just braise on. That's what I find with filling, but it doesn't have much calorie either if you want to reduce the calorie. And, I just eat more meals a day, so I just braise.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have any snack ideas of what you're doing?
This is Jeannie. I cut up yellow and red bell peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I have that along with the celery and the carrots. I'm trying to eat more vegetables because I do go along with the fruit too. And I don't have a weight problem, but it gets my blood sugar kind of out of whack if I eat too much fruit. And so, you know, it brings me up and down. And so the red and yellow bell peppers right now are just wonderful, and they're really sweet tasting. And I know they're low in calories and that kind of thing, too. So.
Anybody else? Thank you, Jean.
Well, I cut those cherry tomatoes in half. I made three of them, cut those little ones in half, and put a little bit of hummus on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Great. I haven't thought about that one. Anybody else?
Hey, this is Bonita, and I a lot of times will have a little guacamole with some fat-free tortilla chips. But you're getting fat in that, but I don't know.
Well, that's okay if, you know, yeah, that's your path.
It works.
That's right. If that is exactly the key. If it works, and it is, it's working for you, and that's what each one of us have to, I think about, but just stick to those certain guidelines. Anybody else?
Yesterday afternoon, I went out to Amish country, and I bought a big, I don't know if it's a peck or whatever, of the pickling cucumbers. I came home, and I think I had four or five just immediately because they were so good.
Pick the peck of peppers.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say that, but I couldn't even think about it. My tongue wouldn't work right. Anybody else have a snack idea?
This isn't helpful, thank you.
This is Way. You know, the basic lifestyle chart gave so many ideas on those snack ideas. Just go back and eliminate the protein part of it. Add more protein out of it, you know?
Exactly. Thank you. Agree. Anybody else? Well, what I'm going to do here, now, are there any new people on the call this morning that have any particular questions that maybe you need to get answered this morning, right off the bat?
Well, I'm Clem Ross from Michigan. I'm not familiar with the China study at all. I've just been just slightly introduced to it, but do you incorporate white rice in that diet?
White rice can be utilized, you know, any type of a rice, the brown rice is always considered to be better than the white rice, but, you know, I go back to the China study, and I look at a lot of countries that basically that's what they raise is white rice, and they don't have these diseases too, so I think it's a good choice, but in my opinion only, sir, and that is that, you know, brown rice is better and healthier.
Okay, thank you.
There's more fiber in the brown.
Is that the reason there's more fiber in the brown? Thank you, Nancy.
So you're getting more of the natural whole husk of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How about How about wild rice? Rice.
Yeah, wild rice would be fine too.
I think the white rice is more refined.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like the difference between white flour and wheat flour, huh?
Yeah, same thing.
Black sugar issues, the brown rice has very low. I'm like 46, and the white rice like 86. So you stick with the brown rice and wild rice.
But yet, at the same time, we want to make sure that white rice would still be a good choice over other things. But,
oh yeah.
Like the glycemic value is a lot lower in the brown rice than the white rice.
But you can use sweet potatoes and regular white potatoes along with that?
Yeah, in the China Study book, and I'll have to grab mine here, and I hope I can get to it real quick. And by the way, the China Study is a book that you can get through Focus on Growth has it available, or you can get it from your local store. But there is a chart, and if I can just find it here real quick, talks about in the eating section of the China Study. Doggone it, I'm not going to be able to find. But anyhow, it talks about the foods that are best to be eating in regards to... Does anybody have that real handy? I can't find it.
Let's see. After page 230, it's around that area. They have a nice chart that you can do for the copy and put on the food.
Yeah. But anyhow, I'm still trying to search here for it and talk at the same time. I'll tell you what, I'll make a note of this, and I'll make sure I have that page for Monday's call this coming Monday that's in the China Study that I think, to me, is the guideline of what Dr. McDougall talks about in the China Study and what he has come up. Oh, here it is. It's on page 243, and it has general categories, and it talks about, like, fruit, and then it mentions the specific examples. Same way with vegetables, like flowers, broccoli, cauliflower. And then it talks about stem leaves, roots, legumes, mushrooms, nuts, whole grains. And then it says minimize. Then it has the list of things there to minimize, like refined carbohydrates, added to vegetable oils and fish. And then it says the products to avoid. And so that might help a lot of people that are looking and thinking and about starting this, trying this new way of eating. And that, I think, is a very good guideline right there, and that'll give you a start to give you an idea of what you should or shouldn't be eating.
When you went on this China Study and you gave up meat or protein, did you notice any lack of energy or anything like that?
The first day or two, I had a slight headache is all. And people, because we are all different, like I mentioned earlier, do have different results. Some people feel a lot, not quite a bit, as much energy as like you just mentioned. Other people feel great. Other people feel lots of energy, feel a lot better. So I think it's all going to depend upon our individual bodies. But I think it would be to expect for the first few days to kind of expect you might see some changes or feel some changes.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Quite welcome. And remember, the China Study book is pretty much, the book is all about the research, the technology. It backs up, has all kinds of surveys that are in there. It shows, tells you where you can go to find research in them. Then the other books, like the RAVE diet that's available at Focus on Growth, some Dr. McDougall books. If you have a heart condition or know anybody that does, I highly recommend the Dr. Essel Stein's book. It talks about how to reverse heart diseases. And he's got a specific diet there and a way of eating that he has had some absolutely tremendous results with people that have had bad heart conditions, ready to go into open heart surgery, and some amazing results have come from that book. And I know I have family members, I've already bought two of them, to give to both my uncles because they have already been through open heart surgery and had stents in them, and I know what's coming in their future, and they have already been warned that even though they've had these open heart surgeries, one of them had open heart surgery and the other one had stents put in, that they know that the medical field has told them that they're still going to have the problem somewhere down the road. And so I believe this new way of eating and the survey that's backed up in these particular books and Dr. Esselstein to my opinion, everybody that has a heart condition should be thinking about changing into this new way of eating.
Could I have the title?
Yeah, what's the title of that book?
Oh, okay. Hang on just a second. I got to move. Nancy, I've got to move to a chair, out of my chair for a minute. I'll be right back.
I might have had a Nikon meeting last night, and that book might have been displayed.
The name of the book is Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease by Caldwell B. Esselstein, and his last point of his name is E-S-S-E-L-S-T-Y-N Jr. M.D. And Dr. Campbell of the China Study talks about him also in the book about his some of his research that he has done also in the China Study. But the China Study is the book that I think is going to be the one that wakes people up. And also the Rave Diet book, the front of that book, and the DVD that's in that book. And I do want to say this right up front, that there's some scenes in that DVD that you might not want to look at, but most people do, and it has to do with the way that animals are raised and whatever. And whatever, but we'll leave it at that. And that's the Rave Diet and Lifestyle. And that book is also available to Focus on Growth. Any other questions this morning? Well, I'd like to thank each and every one of you that have been on this call. I'd like to thank you for joining me. I'd like to thank you for speaking up, telling us where you're from. It's always nice to know. But and particularly the Active Study Pilot Group, I'd like to thank you for your comments that you've made that if I know have helped some people, and some of the questions that you came up with that I'm kind of looking at. And second of all, I'd like to thank all of our guests for their attendance today. If you have any questions or comments, let me direct you to the person that pretty much invited you to this call, because whoever invited you to this call thinks an awful lot of you to be able to share this new way of eating and this new way, and it's just to have better health. So pretty much, have a wonderful day, and please join us again, and we'll be here Monday morning, every Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Please join us, and if you have any friends that you think might be interested in this call, just go ahead and have them, give them the number and the code to join us, and we'd be glad to answer any questions you or they might have. Thanks again. Have a great weekend. Thank each and every one of you for speaking up.
Thank you, Monty.
Thanks, Monty.
Thank you.